by. My, my, my. I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl watcher. Here comes one now. I was just a boy when I threw away my toys. I found a new pastime. Well, on whenever I detect members of the other sex, I play the game. I do so well. On I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl watcher. Watching girls go by. My, my, my.
Hey, are you a girl watcher?
I'm a girl watcher. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am the girl watcher, Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, he's a girl watcher, Big Ed Davis. Thanks for joining us on this Monday, July the 24th. We are flying through this month, are we not? Lots to do. We'll be talking in a few minutes with Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk to him about that Hollywood writers and actors strike going on right now. Sean says it might be a losing battle against the advancement of technology on film. Very interesting. Stay tuned. And with college education degrees now down by like half since 1970, America faces a huge teacher crisis in America, and we are going to take a look. Stay tuned for that. And is Ron DeSantis, is he losing his focus, both as governor and presidential candidate? What is up with this attack on Anheuser-Busch and what he deems its shareholder responsibility? Is that his bailiwick? We're going to take a look. And in our ultimate top 10, you know, everybody has their favorite movie actors. This is New Arena's current top 10 best movie actors. So stay tuned for that as well. I'll get a kick of what Ed has to say about this list. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. It is the best place to get a haircut, man, that I have found in Tampa Bay. And let me tell you, it's not only a great haircut, it's a great price. Call for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. And we're also sponsored by Arbor Life Tree Service. I have personally used them. They are professional. They are terrific, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding. Do you have trees that are lined up against telephone wires or something like that? You know, that kind of a, whatever it has to do with trees, call Arbor Life Tree Service. Get a free estimate. Their number is 727-330-1999. So this is really kind of, I mean, this kind of gets lost, I think, in the weeds, you know, with the presidential race and all the economic trouble we have. A teacher shortage is riddling our educational system, with some states slashing requirements to help get educators in the classroom. They are so desperate that the quality of the people that are now coming in to teach our kids has really gotten low. Education degrees have slipped by nearly 50% since 1970 and 2021. 50%! Despite the overall number of college students going up 150%. It used to be that it was a, you know, it's like so many other professional jobs. It was a vocation. You loved getting together with kids to teach them, to educate them. It isn't that way. The unions get involved. It becomes just another job to make as much money as possible. Look at all of these teacher strikes across the country in grade schools and the quality of the education we're getting in public schools, right? Well, at one time, an education degree was the most popular major, but it's not that anymore. Not that anymore. Here is Corey DeAngelis, School Choice Now. He says this: These trends are not surprising. We pour more and more money into the system, and it doesn't make its way to the teachers in the classroom. He says, while education spending increased by 152% since 1970, after adjusting for inflation, teacher salaries, listen to this, teacher salaries have only gone up 8% since then. 8%. So it's not the kind of a job that people want. However, the good news is that with more and more private schools and vouchers, teachers are getting paid better. You know why? Because the best teachers are the teachers that these schools want to keep, because they have to attract kids. And parents are not going to send their kids to a low-performing private school. They're going to send their kids to schools that do well. That means you've got to have good teachers. And to get good teachers, you've got to pay them. So this is one more reason why we want the government out of our educational system and the private sector running our schools. You get better teachers out of it. It's really a big, big story, a big, big issue. And speaking about taking a look at polls and surveys of what's going well and what's not, here's an early read on the race for the Republican nomination in Iowa. Donald Trump is the clear front runner, and then there's a sharp drop-off for the rest of the field. Trump leads everybody else by 30 points in a Fox Business survey of Iowa Republicans as likely caucus-goer people and his electability see him as the one who can win in 2024. 46% of likely GOP caucus scores back Trump. And then the next guy or gal is actually Ron DeSantis, 16%. That's 30% less. And then guess who's in third place in Iowa? Tim Scott. Yeah, Tim Scott, 11%. Then there's the South Carolina poll. Is that what this one is? Let's see here. Oh, no. And continuing with the Iowa poll, then that Indian guy, Vivek Ramaswamy, he's at 6%. Nikki Haley's coming in at 5%. Mike Pence is at 4%. Nikki Haley isn't doing as well as I thought she might. Education, speaking of education, is the biggest differentiating factor in support. Some 57% of those without a college degree like Trump, compared to 33% with a college degree. DeSantis gets 20% among college grads, followed by Scott at 13%. Looks like so far, this whole thing with Trump and being indicted is not hurting him when he's up by 30 points, right? Next month is coming up soon, and we've got the Republican presidential debates. That should be interesting. It'll also be interesting to see whether or not Donald Trump will show up. I think he should. I think if he doesn't show up, he's going to look bad. He needs to be there. He really does. All right. Before we go to break, this is rather interesting. Over the weekend, you know, all of these talk shows on Sunday. Well, CNN's political commentator Scott Jennings has called out our buddy Vice President Harris on one of those Sunday talk shows on CNN over her claim that Florida's middle school curriculum included lessons on how enslaved people, quote, benefited from slavery. It was on State of the Union. That one's hosted by Dana Bash. And she asked the panelists about how Democrats have been calling for Harris to, quote, get out there more. And so Jennings says, what is amazing to me has been how little Kamala Harris apparently has to do, that she can read something on Twitter one day and be on the airplane the next to make something literally out of nothing. This is a completely made-up deal. I looked at the standards. I even looked at the analysis of the standards in Florida. In every instance, when the word slavery or slave came up, I even read the statement of the African-American scholars that wrote the standards, not Governor DeSantis, but the scholars themselves. Everybody involved says this is completely a fabricated issue that enslaved people benefited from slavery. Completely fabricated. And yet, look how quickly Kamala Harris jumped on it.
I'm surprised anybody even listens to her anymore.
Yeah, but...
You know, when she goes to a press...
But the Democrats jumped on it and said, oh, yeah, Florida. Oh, yeah. We got to get out. We got to get out. Florida's dangerous now. People shouldn't go... If you are a gay person or an LGBTQ plus or a black person, Florida's a dangerous place to go. You need to move to the south side of Chicago. Or how about the inner city in New York or Washington, D.C., right? You'll be safer there, apparently.
You know, when she does a press conference, people don't even turn their microphones on. There for show.
Well, we're going to take our break. When we come back, what's going on in Hollywood? Are we going to, Ed, are we going to lose all our favorite shows? We got our buddy Sean Higgins coming on. We're going to talk to him about this actors, writers strike in Tinseltown.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Here's Johnny. Thank you very much, Ed.
I'm like
you, Ed.
No live Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, I like that one. Thank you, Ed. And it was you're quick on the draw. Hey, we're going to talk with our buddy Sean Higgins. He is a research fellow. He specializes in employment and labor for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to go out to Hollywood with him and talk about this actors and writers strike that is going on. Sean, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me back. It's been a little while.
Yeah, it has been. It really has. This is really an interesting topic. We don't normally go out and talk about actors and writers in Hollywood, but apparently, I guess, technology has also invaded Hollywood like it's invaded everything else in this country. Is that what's the crux of the issue here with writers and actors?
That's the main underlying issue, is all their contracts are based on the old primarily broadcast theater model of putting entertainment out there, while the industry has been massively switching over to streaming. And as a consequence, the actors are suddenly earning a lot less money than they were previously for a couple of different reasons. For one thing, the seasons are shorter. I mean, a broadcast television series usually has about 26 episodes in a season, whereas most streaming shows are like 13 or 10 or something like that. So that cuts into that. And they're not getting residuals from stuff in syndication because that's dying as well. Syndication, most of the money from that comes from advertising, and so they're not getting that either. And then there's a whole bunch of a host of other issues that have concern. So they're not making money. So the problem is Hollywood isn't making money either. Their attempt to switch over to the streaming model, they spent a lot of money to do that, and it's not actually showing the results that they want. We've had this whole summer where most of the movies have been massive flops. So they're losing money. So there's this they're at a tough point right now.
Yeah.
The actors want more money, and the studios are saying, we don't have it to give.
You know, I go back to listening to movies go into the 50s. You know, my God, and I've seen the changes in Hollywood. It used to be that, at least with the actors, maybe more so with them than the writers, that they would be welded to a particular studio, you know, making movies, you know, Bette Davis or Humphrey Bogart or whatever. And they had to make the movies, they would have a contract that kept them under the thumb of the moguls that ran that particular movie company. Now, everybody's on their own. They're all like independent contractors, whether it's in the movies, I think, or even in TV, I think. They have their agents finding different things for them. We've got a lot more, it seems like we have a lot more vehicles for them to show up on, including writers, you know, with the streaming and everything out on the internet and all of the other things going on. But I guess it's just thinned out the, I don't know what it would, it's no longer, for me, I don't even recognize, there's so many things going on, I don't even know who's what anymore in Hollywood.
Right. I mean, the old sort of classic Hollywood thing was based on the era when the actors were on contract to the individual studios. Like Humphrey Bogart worked for Warner Brothers. Clark Gable worked for...
MGM.
MGM, yeah, exactly. And, you know, those studios went out and made, you know, designed vehicles for those stars and promoted those stars and that type of stuff. Now it's the actors are on contract for individual projects, not to the studio. And most of those projects are now sold on either sort of the brand or the mostly that. So, for example, people don't go to see, you know, movie stars so much anymore. They go to see the new James Bond movie, the new Star Wars film, the new.
Right.
Indiana Jones film. Now, certain of those things have actors that are tied to them. But outside of that, I mean, you typically don't see those actors much. I mean, everybody may go to see the next Thor movie, but how often do people rush out to see the movie that stars the guy that's played Thor?
Exactly.
That's the issue that they're in.
Yeah. It used to be, like, I think, you know, one of the last ones that comes to mind as far as drawing power by his name alone was Tom Hanks. And, you know, Tom Cruise is doing it, and some of those would. But it's the movie that just overwhelms the star, because you've got all of these action things going on, I guess, with computer technology now and everything else. So anyway, getting back to these writers and these actors, they want more of the pie. Do they want more in residuals? Are they claiming that the companies are being greedy? What exactly are they looking for?
Well, they're claiming they're being greedy, but what the companies are doing is they're just sort of kind of aggressively cutting out the middleman. They're doing what a lot of businesses do, which is just trying to find a way to get their product directly to consumers and cut out as much of that as they can. So that's the whole purpose of streaming. Instead of sending it to station and then the station having its affiliates run it and that type of stuff, let's just give it directly to the consumers. Let's have them pay a flat fee and they'll see it that way.
So define streaming exactly for guys like me that know very little technologically.
Well, it's literally, I mean, you pay, if you have a cable system, you just simply pay to have, something like Netflix or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and that goes directly to you, and there's no advertising on that.
Usually. Oh, okay.
But instead of the traditional broadcast model was you didn't pay, but you had to sit through the ads. And that was how everything was paid for. Now they're sort of switching away from the ad-based stuff to this direct payment.
I see.
The problem with that is, and they're sort of learning this rather belatedly, was the way the old system was set up, there's a couple of different ways to make money from your product. I mean, you put a movie out in theaters, and then you got a movie out on video cassettes or DVDs, and you got it that way. Then you sold it to the cable companies. And that process of putting it all out there in all those different ways meant there were sort of different ways for people to find out about the stuff. Now the stuff goes directly to streaming. This just basically has like one shot to find an audience. And as a consequence, a lot of these things aren't finding the audiences that they want, even though the money, more money is coming directly to the studio. So they're sort of belatedly discovering that problem. And
yes, indeed. We're talking with Sean Higgins. He's a research fellow. He specializes in employment and labor for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about this Hollywood writers and actors strike. And Sean, so what's the upshot here? I mean, are these actors and these writers, are they going to, does it look like they're not going to, say, win this thing? They're going to have to settle and just kind of put their tail between their legs? What do you think?
Well, the studios have indicated that they're going to try and hold out for as long as they can, and they probably can hold out longer than a lot of the actors. One of the interesting things is that the Screen Actors Guild, and it's the Writers Guild and the Screen Actors Guild that are together that are striking, and the Screen Actors Guild includes a lot of people who aren't like primarily actors. It's one of the things that's not so well known about. In order to act in a major studio film, you have to be a part of the union. But a lot of these are like extras or people that just have small parts. Some of these people, this is a lot of what the strike is about. A lot of those people who do the sort of smaller parts can't make a living, as opposed to somebody who's like starring in a regular series. And so they're trying to up the pay for those people, but this is coming at the expense of the people who are more serious actors who do it full time. And so that's one of the conflicts that they're sort of trying to sort through. Previously, the success of those people could help pull along the other ones. That's no longer the case now. And you know, a lot of stuff is based on ad rates, residuals, and stuff. So the whole way it's calculated needs to be rethought. Also, they don't know exactly how popular or successful a lot of these shows are. I mean, the streaming stuff information is not released publicly, so that we know how well they're doing or how much. I mean, in theaters, they release the box office totals. Nielsen releases the ratings for broadcast television. Streaming stuff is very mysterious as to whether it's successful and how much it's being watched. And that's a problem if you're an actor or a writer negotiating something. If you maybe you're on a hit show, but if you don't know how successful it is, you don't know how much leverage you have in the negotiation. That's another issue. And then on top of this, we have AI and the possibility that more stuff is going to be done without actors at all.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They've even talked about bringing back people that have passed away and somehow incorporating them into new movies.
They've done it. I mean,
yes.
I mean, in some of the Star Wars films, I mean, Carrie Fisher came back from the dead.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So didn't the writers start this strike?
They did. And the actors joined in. The directors, it was thought that the directors were going to join in, but they did reach a settlement. So with the studio.
Mm-hmm. But when the writers originally decided to strike, obviously it must have had something to do with what? With the money that they were being paid? Or were they being shut out, a lot of them, from getting work? Or what was that?
They just wanted more money. The process by which you get paid on a lot of these contracts is based on advertising revenue rates from the old broadcast model. But again, that doesn't apply to the streaming model because that's paid directly by the consumers.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot, like for example, it used to be that if you were on a hit show and the show went into syndication, you would get residual money from that forever and ever. And that was, that was the big sort of goal for a lot of these people. You try and get the television series, make certain it ran until they're long enough to have a syndication package to sell the syndication package. The money that paid for the syndication packages came from television advertising. They sell it to UHF stations or lower cable stations like WTVS, and they would get the money that way. Now, because syndication is dying, they're not getting that residual money anymore, so they're trying to demand more money from the studio from other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really knows how successful the streaming shows are. So they don't really know. They're certain that they're getting gypped from that, but no one really knows.
Yeah. Yeah. My colleague, Ed Davis, has a question for you, I think.
Yeah, Sean, I was just wondering, at what point has it already affected the start of fall shows, and does it affect reality shows, in fact?
It's definitely going to push back a lot of the regular shows. There's a few exceptions, like the House of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones sequel series is apparently going to be going ahead regularly because that's being filmed in England, and that's all being done through the British version of the Actors Union, which is separate from the American one. Mm-hmm. So that's what that applies. As far as the reality shows, those will probably continue to go. I mean, the big thing about the reality shows is that those are, while they are actually scripted for the most part, they're technically not these sort of acted shows, so they sort of fall in a kind of loophole. They're a lot cheaper to produce, too. So you'll probably see a lot of those.
Let me ask you something about movie theater going, if I might, Sean. This may be out of your bailiwick a little bit, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I haven't gone to a movie house in I don't know how long, because I can get whatever I want pretty much on television now, you know, with all the different sources that can come into my TV. Now they got a couple of blockbuster movies, I think. This Barbie movie and this Oppenheimer movie. I normally don't hear much about new movies, but these two have been. So does that mean that there will be a return possibly to theaters to see these kinds of movies?
That remains to be seen. I mean, those two ones are hits, but they follow a summer that has had a lot of bombs in it. I mean, you know, we had the Indiana Jones movie, which flopped. There was the Flash, Michael Keaton Batman film, which everybody had a lot of hopes for, which flopped. There were a couple of months before that. Tom Cruise Mission Impossible movie is doing fairly well, but not the kind of the blockbuster that they were sort of hoping for. I don't know exactly how it is in your neck of the woods, but at least in where I live in DC area, most of the theaters have upgraded to these more sort of luxurious things where you have the really nice chairs and you can get food in the theater.
Yeah, and you've got to draw. You got to figure out a way to draw people that is different than it. You know,
But that's sort of capital investments, and I don't know those things are paying off because when I do go to the theaters, and I still fairly frequently like because I enjoy the experience of seeing a movie on the big screen, but when I go out, I mean, I do notice that a lot of those seats are not filled. They're just not packing theaters.
They're so expensive, are they not?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, the ticket prices have gone up. There's also the hassle of finding parking in downtown and that type of stuff, or if you're not going to, like, somewhere where there's a lot of abundant parking. So, the COVID-19 pandemic accelerated the transition for a lot of people of just watching stuff at home. When I saw the Mission Impossible movie, in fact, it literally starts with a clip of Tom Cruise and the director thanking the people for going and see it in the theaters. Like, oh, thank you so much. It's literally in the film. And it's like, and I'm just sitting there watching it going, wow, they're that worried about the transition from everything to streaming.
It's going to get so bad they're going to start showing up at the end of the theater and at the end of the movie.
Yeah, they're going to be
signing autographs.
You know, knowing Tom Cruise, if he could actually appear in every theater and, like, shake hands and, announce, I'm going to be there to shake your hand as you walk in, he would probably do it because he's that type of type A personality. But the point is, it's getting to that issue where a lot of people just don't want to go to theaters anymore, even with really nice experiences, because they've just gotten used to watching everything at home.
Oh, absolutely. We could go on forever on this, Sean. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about this. We're going to keep our eyes, for those people that love these programs. I'm hoping that they get over this strike real soon. But thank you so very much.
All right. Glad to be on the show.
All right, buddy. Sean Higgins.
Yeah, a friend of mine went to watch that Barbie movie last night against my better judgment. And she called me at the end and said, you were right. It stunk.
Really?
Yes.
Isn't that funny?
It's for an 8-year-old.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's not for an adult.
I
wonder how this guy that's playing Oppenheimer looks like him a little bit in the movie.
And I'll tell you, these theaters with the new chairs and everything like that, if I go to dinner first and then I hit a cold theater with a soft cozy chair, I don't make it past the previews.
You fall asleep.
I'm gone.
Oh, wow. All right.
And somebody always wake me up for snoring, bother me.
Okay. Going to take our break. When we come back, Ron DeSantis, is he kind of losing his way here? You know, he's governor of Florida. He's presidential candidate. He's going after Anheuser-Busch and what he deems their shareholder responsibility. I'm wondering if he's lost his way. We'll talk about it.
Make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Back on a Monday. Thank you so very much for being with us. You know, Ed, I like going to Lowe's. I go there all the time to get stuff. I got one very close by, and I find it to be very convenient. But I was a little taken aback by this story about this poor woman. She's 68 years old, yeah. Disemployed. Listen to this. A longtime Lowe's employee was fired after she attempted to stop thieves from stealing about $2,000 worth of goods in the store she worked in Georgia. Her name is Donna, I think it's Hansborough, and she was fired for violating the company's policy on stopping the thieves, or I should say not stopping the thieves.
Well, she grabbed the cart or something like that. She put her hands on anybody, I don't think so.
No.
I mean, come on.
No. Three suspects entered the Lowe's store. This was in June. They stole about $2,100 worth of merchandise. She was repeatedly punched in the face after she grabbed one of the shopping carts.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw a picture of her. Her eye was all puffed up and everything. I really felt bad for her.
Well,
here she is trying to do the right thing, and they fire her.
Well, bigger story is, guess what you just told thieves?
Come on in.
Come on to Lowe's.
Because no one's going to stop you.
Because our employees are not allowed to stop you.
You know what I was thinking about? If I was an insurance company, if I was an insurance company, I would tell stores like Lowe's, if you're not going to protect your merchandise, I'm not going to insure you if you get thievery going on there. You figure out a way to keep your merchandise from being stolen. You have some sort of a secure method, whether it involves your employees or not. But if they can just wander into the store and start taking stuff right out of the shelves and you're rolling them out in a shopping cart, I'm not gonna insure your company. I'm gonna be losing money. I'm not gonna do it. You know? Anyway, we got our two buddies. We got them both, the Ceresi brothers. We got Angelo and we got Andrew. Hey guys, do you have a Lowe's nearby?
Yes, I do. Down on the street from me.
Okay. I know both of you do. I know, Andrew, you do as well. And what do you think about that story? Angela, what do you think about that poor lady?
I think she should sue the company.
Yeah. After all those years. After all those years, you know? And she loved her job. She loved her job. Andrew, what do you think, Andrew?
What do I think? I think I'm going to Home Depot tomorrow.
Yes.
That's right. I think somewhere in the employee handbook, whether they know it or not, there's some little clause in there where you're not allowed to touch or, you know, intervene or anything. That's what security is for.
Exactly. You know, and
there's
going to
be something in there.
Because if some employee attempting to stop someone gets shot or gets seriously injured, and then they go and they sue the company. Kind of understand it. I do kind of. So that goes to how you protect your store.
If I was the manager of the store, I would call her in the office in front of everybody, close the door, smack her on the hand, and give her a night out, free dinner somewhere.
So you wouldn't...
Absolutely not. I would make it look like she got reprimanded.
No. But my point is you wouldn't commend her for trying to stop the thieves?
Well, you can't do that because you don't own... I don't own Lowe's. I can't...
Okay, but you're the manager of Lowe's.
I can tell her outside the walls, thank you very much. Yeah. I'm saying that. What I'm saying is slap on the hand, on the wrist.
Yeah. I'd figure out a way to give her a promotion if you want to know the truth.
Then everybody else knows... Then she gets promoted, and then everybody's going to start stopping people.
Good.
Well,
good.
That means
that maybe there'll be less people wandering in and stealing. I know.
You're dealing with a corporate.
If they could get past this thing about if you want to stop somebody, you just can't sue us if something happens to you. I mean, I do understand that situation. And I know it's not an easy one, but it sure looks bad PR-wise for Lowe's. That's all I'm saying. And I'm seriously thinking about not going to Lowe's because of that policy.
We'll go to Home Depot, Paul.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, now that I know they're not stopping anybody, let's load up. I mean, they only got it for $2,000. I'm thinking a couple generators, and what else can we get in there?
I'd like to get one of those.
Riding lawnmower?
I want a riding lawnmower.
We'll just hotwire and drive it on out of there.
All right. We can do that. Hey, Andrew, if I steal a riding lawnmower out of Lowe's, can we go into business together? We can start making some money on mowing lawns.
Paul, you know I love my tractor, man. Everybody knows that. But you know, Paul?
Yeah, go ahead.
I can tell you this. Now, you got the Lowe's situation going on. Now, you know, my business is a cash business, and I can tell you, everybody in my barbershop is heavily armed. I've never had a problem, and there's a sign right on my door warning you.
You know, that's a very good point. What if Lowe's put a sign up that says, armed security guards on premise or something like that?
Now, the other thing you got to realize is if someone goes into my barbershop and tries to rob me, I told everybody you got to shoot to kill him. You don't shoot to wound him, because if you wound them and they're alive, they can sue you. But when they're dead, there's no lawsuit. So you got to do the right job.
Absolutely.
Angelo, your brother is ready.
I'm ready, too. Believe me. Over here, we have a lot of cars being stolen.
Do you?
Hijacked and everything. Like, I'm waiting for one of them to come after me.
Hey, you got no worry about your car being hijacked. The hottest car being stolen right now are the Kias. Don't worry about a Corvette.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Or a Kia is the hottest car stolen today because they're so easy to hotwire and take off.
Oh, that's why.
Yes.
And, Paul, Rochester, New York is leading the nation with hijacked cars.
Really? Why?
Yes, it is. Number one on the map.
Why?
They're all trying to get
because
out of there.
Because of our laws in New York State.
They're all trying to get out of there.
leave there with a new car.
To take a fast train. got to get out of here.
But they might as well leave with a new car.
I might as well get a new car. Hey, I'm going to grab me a Kia on the way out. Hey, guys, I want to talk to you both about Ron DeSantis. I highlighted this segment about the fact, and I want to know if you've even heard about this. I think Ron DeSantis is going off the reservation a little bit too much here. He is asking the head of the State Board of Administration, the SBA in Florida, to review its holdings of Anheuser-Busch. It's actually called AB InBev. That's their name, citing the ongoing decline of their stock because of the Bud Light fiasco. Is that what a governor or a presidential candidate should be focusing on? Let me ask you first, Andrew.
Well, Bob, let's face the facts. If the Florida government has stocks in Anheuser-Busch for the people's retirement pensions, right?
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, if the stock is losing money, these people could lose the money on their pensions. Take it out of there.
True. Do you think the governor should be making a big public scene about this?
You know, Ron is trying everything right now, Paul. He's trying to see what'll be a niche, but apparently the niches are going away.
This niche is not going to help him get votes in the presidential primary, in my humble opinion.
Paul, they need to talk about what's going on today.
Exactly.
They need to get rid of this gender baloney. They need
yes.
to get rid of this wokeness baloney.
Well,
people care less about that. We're worried about our pocket. We're worried about inflation. We're worried about insurance. We're worried about getting the people with Eon taken care of and Fort Myers. What they're talking about has got nothing to do with the price of fish anymore.
Angelo, do you think that DeSantis should just, like, concentrate on talking about the inflation in general, the border, the southern border, about stocking the shell, about, you know, about Biden's economic policy, and stop with the thing about wokeness? Or what do you think?
Absolutely. Go. What are the issues today? Anheuser-Busch, forget it. They're done.
Yeah.
You know? They're done. Just stick to the issues, like my brother said.
Yeah, I agree with both of you on that. I just think this wokeness thing is definitely something, but it's not the only thing. And that's why I'm wondering, because DeSantis, we were just talking about, he's not gaining. Ron DeSantis is not gaining right now, and maybe it's the messaging, right? It's the messaging, and he's got to figure out a way to get people's attention. He's kind of falling back into the pack.
Donald Trump he's like 35 points ahead of everybody right now.
Yeah,
Ron DeSantis is in third place.
Well, second place mostly, but third place in some primaries.
Some primaries, yeah.
Yeah, he's third in South Carolina or New Hampshire, maybe. In Iowa, he's still second, but whatever.
And they're trying to get Trump on felony charges now.
Right. Correct.
So, you know, the people, have you seen the people in Israel right now? How they're protesting because they want to screw around with their constitution? The American people right now should be marching on Washington with our constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But DeSantis is, like I said, I think he should just stick with the issues.
The issues. What, Andrew, is Donald Trump doing the right thing right now? I haven't heard him talk recently, but all the
he's doing everything right. Bad publicity, good publicity.
He's like
I think Ron needs to do one thing, Paul. I think Ron needs to stop listening to his wife.
You think?
That's what I think.
Well, that might be right. Maybe she's steering him wrong. Or maybe he's just got bad advisors outside of his wife.
Well, it's like I told you before, Paul. When Trump was giving him advice, Ron was rocking the house. Trump is no longer giving Ron advice, and he's listening to Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and all these other people, and they're giving him all the wrong advice.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the wildest, craziest, most unpredictable presidential race I've ever seen. It is just absolutely, it's the most bizarre. We have the most bizarre things. We have two guys that might be in jail that are leading their respective parties for presidency. I mean, really, have you ever seen anything like this before? Angelo?
Never have.
Yeah.
Never have.
Sorry, Andrew, what'd you say?
Well, the fact of the matter, like you say, you got a presidential nominee going up could be in jail. The fact is, all the charges that are against this guy are all bogus. This is all political.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get rid of him because
yes.
they are afraid of him. And you know what? They need to be afraid of him because they know that 3/4 of Washington is going to jail if he gets in. Okay?
Yes.
They're trying to put him there so he can't do it.
They're all
going to
be
in the end. You watch and see what will happen.
You know, he can run, by the way. There's nothing that keeps you from running for president if you're behind bars. Did you know that?
That's right. He's
There's nothing that keeps you. Even if they found him guilty and they decided to throw him in the hooscow, he could still run for president. He might do better.
He'll do a better job in jail than the Democrats are doing in Washington as it is. What are you talking about?
This is unbelievable. Hey, guys, I got to run, but thank you both for coming on. Angelo, always a pleasure, buddy.
Always a pleasure.
You keep safe up there, and Andrew, we love you.
You got it, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
See you later.
Okay, guys. There they are. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, hey, who are the top 10? Currently, the top 10 best actors in the world.
Let's fly away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and it is not a blue Monday, kind of gray Monday out there right now as I look out the window, but it's still Monday, and we thank you for listening. By the way, if you cannot listen live, Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. All you have to do is go to ourfreedomworks.com and click on the podcast button at the top, and it opens up to all the shows we got. Most recent at the top, it's got the guest and the top 10 on there. Bless him. OurFreedomWorks.com. All right, Ed, before we get to our top 10, I hate to ask you this, but our Rays, our beloved Rays, they don't know how to win games anymore. What's
23,000 in front of the drop. Actually, the average for the series with Baltimore, about 20,000.
That's pretty good.
And you lost three out of four.
Oh. Well, Baltimore's a good team, are they not?
They are a good team, but the Rays supposedly were a good team, too. But the thing is, Baltimore beats the bad teams. The Rays can barely squeak by them, or if not lose them, they get swept by them.
Yeah. And I know you're talking about the prima donna situation in the locker room.
Yeah. Listen, if I'm ownership and this gets any worse, you got to make a change. And I'll bring it up again. Tony Dungy was a good coach, but a change needed to happen for the Buccaneers. As much as people think that was a bad move, it was not a bad move. Even his own players said we needed to change.
You think they need to get rid of Kevin Cash, the manager?
I don't know who this is on because I'm not in the office. But somebody is rubbing wrong against somebody else. And it's a power struggle.
Yeah.
So if this player is not doing what's told,
I'm sure
then
that
you have to move on.
I'm sure that the management or the general management or whatever are talking to Cash about this. They have to be at this point.
They are, but he may be rubbing against him, saying, no, I'm not going to make that move.
Wow.
I don't know.
Soap opera. Okay, Ed. This is New Arena giving us what they call the top 10 current best actors in the world. So take it with a bag of salt, okay? Mm-hmm. Here we go. Number 10.
Needs a current, right?
Currently. Okay. Yes, okay. Current. Number 10. Gary Oldman.
He's always been a good actor.
He's been a good actor. I remember him in the Batman movies, but he's done so much more. You know he's British?
Yeah, he's
from Britain. Okay, number 9. Speaking about the Cape Crusader, Christian Bale.
Yeah, good actor.
He's a good actor. He's been around for a while. You know he's English also?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Number 8. Well, here's one that's been around for eons. Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Do you think he's a good actor?
Still a good actor, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, still. Do you think he's... But on a regular basis, he's a good actor.
Sure.
Yeah, I think he is, too. Number 7. You know, I don't know who this guy is, Ed. Do you know Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yes.
Tell me about
him. Very good actor. Very good actor.
He was an accomplished theater actor. And incredibly skilled actor, capable of playing a wide variety of roles.
He played in a movie, I can't, off the top of my head, I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was about World War II and decoding the Germans.
Okay.
Came up with a fantastic movie.
Okay, good. Number 6, Joaquin Phoenix. He's been around for a while. Mm-hmm. I remember him from The Gladiator.
Yeah.
He was good in that.
Yep.
Number 5, Javier Bardem.
Okay.
Do you know him?
But not the name.
Javier Bardem is the first Spanish actor to be nominated for an Academy Award and the only Spanish actor to win an Oscar. Okay. Number 4. I'm surprised he's not number 1, but Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
We all know Tom. He was great in so many movies. I don't know where you start.
Yeah.
You know. But he's been around for quite a while. Number 3. Oh, here's another one. Anthony Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's about 85 years old now.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe the scariest villain of all time.
Yeah. Hannibal Lecter.
Yes, Hannibal Lecter. I think people must have run out of the theater with him doing that role.
I wonder if little kids see him in the grocery stores.
They worry about
him. It's Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. Number 2, Denzel Washington.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in many movies lately.
I haven't seen him recently. He's done some.
Yeah.
But he's been around. He can play a wide variety of roles. He's not. He's willing to play a bad guy.
Yeah.
All right, who do you think's number 1?
Just because he's been in so many and probably recently. Let's go with Tom Cruise.
I would have, but he's not even on the list.
Oh, Tom,
how about Leonardo DiCaprio? I wouldn't have.
Has he done anything since
one.
Titanic? For
I know. He's done a few movies. He did Gilbert Grape originally.
That was a great movie.
And
he was very young too.
He was, and of course he did Titanic. He played a bad guy on the stock. On